to the ashes of the Imperium.
Hello and welcome to Ashes of the Imperium. My name is Dan, and today I'm not joined by Steve. I'm joined by a guest, a very special guest. Welcome to the show, David Hardy.
Hi there, Dan. You're right.
I'm living the dream as ever. We've invited David on today to talk all about his hobby. Now, you may recognise some of David's work from Instagram or Twitter or all that stuff. He is the Spaced Crusader, the green based. Retro, he of ultra retro ultramarine fame. I just love your painting vibe, so I thought we'd have you on the show to talk a little bit about painting kind of in a retro style and back to the kind of glory days perhaps of Warhammer for those of us of a certain vintage.
I'm happy to be here. I'm happy to always chat hobby with anyone really, but I'm sort of excited about actually just chatting about, talking about retro paint schemes. It's close to my heart really. Like the old 90s Warhammer style. So yeah, I'm really, really excited to have a chat with you about it all.
Excellent. So tell us a little bit about yourself as a hobbyist, your kind of hobby journey.
I got started in the early 90s. I sort of found it by mistake. I used to have an old Amstrad C464, I think it was. I had to do some research today to find out what it was. And I got like a demo from a magazine called Amstrad Action. It had a sort of the computer game version of Space Crusade on it. I sort of played it and quite enjoyed it, but I didn't really know what it was. It was only sort of later on, sort of, there was a lad down my street. He was, at the time I was about 8, I think, but he was like a teenager. And I went to his house to sort of, go around and play, or what he did back then in the 90s, sort of was out playing. And he had, I think it was either Advanced Space Crusade or Tyranid Attack. And I sort of put one and one together. I was like, but these models, some of these look like what's on this computer game, like these space marine things. And then he showed me loads of them, and then that was it really. I was just like, this is the coolest thing I've ever seen. I was completely hooked from then. I was like, oh, there's more of it, tell me more, and I can actually build these models and hold them and paint them. And he was like, yeah, and I was just completely blown away that this was actually a thing.
It's like that Starship Troopers, would you like to know more, and you click yes, and it's just like yes. Pandora's box opens, and then you fast forward 30 years and you're like, oh.
Yeah, but it's crazy to think that it was that long ago when it is literally almost like 30 years ago that happened to me. Like I say, it was just from playing like a demo it was a terrible game, but it was great by those standards back then. But it was just sort of like a top down sort of RPG, and I didn't even realize there was like a board game for it with the models at the time. So yeah, when I found that in my local sort of, I had like a, it was an old co-op hypermarket. It was a big supermarket back near where I lived in Hampshire. And I remember seeing a copy of Space Crusade in there, like a board game. I was like, oh, and I begged my parents to get it. And I was like, I think I got it for a birthday or something. And then that was it. I had my own models, my own game. Yeah, and it just spiraled from there, really.
So I got in slightly later than you, but it was second edition 40K was what started me and my brother off. And in fact, he got the second edition box set for a birthday or something once. I was talking about this with someone recently, and for me that is like peak nostalgia. Those like Gretchen with the pointy hats, the space orcs, the cardboard dreadnought, like that is like already I'm just getting like waves of like, I feel like the screen should begin like wibble wibble wibble. Do you know what I mean? Like back in the dream.
Yeah, I don't think that was too long after Space Crusade. Space Crusade was like 91, 92. I think they did the second edition of it. And then I remember getting the second edition box set for Christmas or something the same year. Or must have got Space Crusade for my birthday. And then the next year, the second edition. And then that's when I started getting White Dwarfs. And I used to play with my brother as well. He wasn't that interested in it. I used to make him take all the models one side on the carpet, lay the cardboard ruins out, and we'd like dish out the war gear cards. I had no idea how to play it. Like, I look at the rule book now and I think, how the hell did I even manage to but we just rolled dice.
Just kind of made it up back in the day, didn't you? Just made it up as you went along.
Yeah, and that was it, and I was like, this is amazing, and I felt like because I think you got like 80 models in it. Like it was like 40 Gretchen, 20 Goth Orcs, and like 20 Marines. It was incredible the amount of models you got in it. So, and yeah, it was just like, I couldn't believe that that was a thing. And I was like, I've got Warhammer now. This is it. But I didn't really paint anything because I didn't have many paints. I used to use like old sort of Humbrol.
Yeah, Humbrol paints. Enamels. Yes. Yeah, the enamels. Oh, you have to use white spirit to clean your brushes.
Yeah, and I couldn't believe I was just like taken away from it. Like that same lad that was down my street, like we used to sit around his house and look at all these white dwarfs. And I think you remember he we wrote out like a Space Wolves army that I was going to buy once. You know, he wrote me like a 2,000-point army. I think it cost about £70, I think, all in. But I was like, as an 8-year-old, I was like, where am I?
You're like, how am I ever going to afford that? That's, you know, that's outrageous amounts of money.
Yeah, that was it, really. And then, I say,
now you're like, oh, how many of those Christmas box sets shall I buy?
The answer is none if you don't need them. The real answer. But yeah, and then that was it, really. I sort of did that, and then and did it, sort of played, got till third edition got released, and that was when this was at like secondary school, and there was a lad in my class whose dad was like a CDT teacher, and him and his brother had like a proper setup at home, like an 8x4 table, like they could, it was all MDF, all scenery, and I got the Dark Elder in that third edition box set. I gave him the Space Marines. I took his Dark Eldar. That was like my first real army. Like, I remember just painting it all over my Christmas holidays, like from start to finish, everything I got for Christmas.
That explains why you've dabbled with a bit of Dark Eldar on your Instagram recently.
I picked up that Battle Force. I remember getting that in 98 or whenever, I think it was, when it was released. And I managed to find like an immaculate copy that was, I literally paid like £2 more than what I would have done back like 25 years ago.
Those models haven't aged well.
No, they haven't. But it was fun to make because there's no detail on it.
Yeah,
you sort of have to make things up on it, and
they're very smooth, aren't they?
Yeah, and I sort of recreated the same. I painted them. I think it was Leech Purple. I painted them back in the day, and so I tried to recreate the same scheme. I think there's a lad I still know from school who doesn't live around it. I think he's still got some of my old Dark Eldar models.
Get a little comparison going.
Yeah, oh god, yeah, I'd love to. I've got nothing from back in the day.
So with that kind of hobby pedigree, you know, getting back into the hobby at that kind of age and that kind of era, what was it, apart from perhaps pure nostalgia, that made you first think, do you know what, I'm going to start painting in a paint scheme that's very reminiscent of that era?
It was more of an accident, really. I got back into the hobby. I did the classic, you know, you get to a certain age and you know.
Yeah. Your priorities change, don't they, as a young lad?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, you find all sorts of things to else entertain.
All sorts of other distractions. And then you realise the error of your ways and you come back into the fold. Yeah, and you realise that actually Warhammer is pretty cool.
Well, the silly thing is, like, all the stuff was just stored at my parents' house. I went and had a career in the forces, and I came out and I met my now wife, and we were moving in together. And my dad was like, oh, do you want all this stuff back? I was like, oh, I don't really need it, Dad. He was like, well, you might as well take it. And I was like, I've got into collecting records at this point. And so it's like a different plastic addiction. And so I sold all my old Warhammer stuff, and I got like a really nice record player and amplifier and speakers. And about 3 years later, I was like, I just got back into Warhammer. I got back into Warhammer, and then I was like, oh, I wish I'd not sold all that stuff. Like, I remember, I just go sound sacrilege, I literally put all my white dwarfs in the recycler bin.
Oh,
my old white dwarfs. Oh. Yeah, I know, yeah.
I can't bring myself to throw mine away. And you know, they're bringing them all out on Warhammer Plus these days, aren't they? But and to be honest, they're all online in PDFs as well.
Yeah, but they're missing quite a lot of them, I think. I've got that collection. I actually, since then, have stupidly bought them back, but I managed to get sort of job lots on social media sites for just really cheap.
Oh, yeah. Like parents throwing away their children's.
Yeah.
Version of you, but, you know.
Yeah, I've had some mad deals from sort of that sort of place. I've got some really crazy stuff.
Our sons at university were getting rid of all this junk whilst he's away, and you're like, oh, well, his loss is my gain. He's going to be so upset.
You joke. I got two of those old second edition box sets, like the army box sets that go for a fortune. There was a lad, he put it on Gumtree of all places. You know, I searched for Warhammer everywhere, old Warhammer anyway. And it turns out he was just, this is such a crazy story. I was like the second person to message him. He was like inundated. He was getting fed up with him. So I said, because he put him down for such a stupid price compared to what they go for. In the end, I convinced him, like the seller dropped, the other buyer dropped out. He was like, oh, can you post him? Because he was in London. And he was like, yeah, I could. What's your address? I sent him my address. He was like, do you know what? Those box sets are at my parents' house in the same town you live in.
Amazing.
And he was like, I'm there this afternoon. Do you want to go and get them? And I was literally, I just had to exchange my wife. I was like, I need to go out now. Don't ask questions, I'll tell you later. And I was like, I went and just picked up the Space Wolf and Eldar box set, more or less complete.
Perfect.
For a pittance.
Oh, dear. So what box set was that?
That was the Space Wolf one and the Eldar Army box set.
Wow.
From second edition.
There are some really cool things you can find on secondhand sites. And like, if you avoid, you know, if you avoid the Facebook selling sites these days, which are just as bad as eBay, it's really tough to find a decent bargain on there. And if you look at things like car boot sales, charity shops, and I, every single time I've got a few, you know, a little bit of time to kill, I'll pop into whatever charity shop of the town that I'm in, just because I think one day I'm going to go in there, I'm going to find like a Praetorian Imperial Guard box set.
For like a tenner, yeah.
And for a tenner, you know, or a full complete hero quest, you know. And obviously, I'm never actually going to, it's never going to happen, but you know, it's just nice, to have a dream.
Yeah, so I'd like to say, I think going back to the original question sort of derailed the whole thing with talking about bargains and old models and stuff. It was more, when I got back into the hobby, I was sort of picked up some AOS stuff, and I didn't know anybody did Warhammer, I just got back into it. I think it was, what drew me back in was when the Gene Sealer's Cult stuff got released in the Death Watch Overkill, and I was like, yes, this is what I'm after. But I didn't buy any of it. I just went to bought some AOS stuff, because it was 7th edition at the time, and I was sort of, what I read on the internet was that it wasn't that good. So I was like, you know what, I've just picked some AOS stuff. It was fairly new. And then they sort of released 8th edition with all the new Primaris stuff. And I was like, these Space Marines are really cool, you know, because nothing like they used to be. And I was contemplating what to paint my, like the Marines for the set. And I was like, I'm just going to do some Ultra Marines. And I was like, you know what, I'm just going to, I've seen someone else do them, like sort of a similar style. I was like, you know what, I'm just going to paint some sort of them with the red bolt casings and then yellow shoulder pad trim. Like, put a picture on Twitter. I think I wasn't even on Instagram at this time. And people were like, oh, that's really cool. And I was like, because I even painted the base green. I was like, and I got lots of good feedback for it. And it's just sort of spiraled out of control from then. And that was it.
That is one of the, you know, there's a lot of terrible things going on social media these days. But one of the good things about Warhammer social media is that it can really provide an excellent way to keep you motivated, and give you that little, like, yeah, maybe it's a bit kind of narcissistic, desperately seeking that next dopamine hit from strangers, but do you know what, if that's what keeps you going, if that's what, you know, makes you want to paint more, then so be it, do it.
Yeah, but that's what's so great about this hobby. I think the community, like 99% of them, are fantastic, you know. And whether it's like everybody's happy to share paint recipes or how they did this, how they did that. Oh, where did that conversion come from? You just ask. And I'm always happy to tell people, because I think, you know, that I've got no secrets, and I want everybody to do awesome hobby. And I love scrolling through social media. And if I like something, I won't just double tap it, you know, like it or whatever. I'll try and comment on it. If I really like it, I'll be like, I want to tell someone they've done a good job.
Join in that conversation, and you know, I think it makes so much more of a difference when someone's actually engaging with you with words rather than just clicks.
Yeah, it's nice to see the numbers racking up, you know, when it's sort of, it's a society we become, but I'm sort of at the age where it's not the be all and end all. I'd rather, you know, have that someone just give someone some feedback. Everybody likes to be told they've done a good job, don't they? So
absolutely. And, so you sort of did a test model in just a kind of retro scheme, just for the lols, really.
Yeah,
And you said it went down well, and you decided to then expand out?
Yeah, because the Dark Imperial set, I painted an Intercessor, you know, like any army, you always do a test model. And I was like, oh yeah, people really like this. And I was like, you know what, I'm going to do, I'm going to paint the whole squad. And I sort of left it at that, you know, because I'm probably similar to yourself. I'm a bit of a hobby butterfly. So I flip between what I, you know, what's flavor, not what's flavor them up, but what takes my fancy. And, And then I came back to them. I painted, I think, what was the first part works magazine? It was Conquest, wasn't it?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, that was coming
Imperium
out.
Imperium now, aren't we?
Yeah. It was Warhammer Conquest. And I got to, started getting that. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to do some more of these Ultramarines. And I just sort of just started refining the scheme. Like, they were Macrae Blue before. I was like, it's a little bit too dark for my liking. So I mixed in some Calidor Sky to make it. I was like, oh, that's a bit, reminds me a bit more of the blue from the 90s. And the whole sort of thing evolved, really. And then I started sourcing. I was like, I need some back banners. And I saw, I can't remember who it was, but they used an Ironclad Dreadnought banner. It's like a back banner on a Primaris Marine. It just fit perfectly. And because the old banners for the Firstborn Marines were just a little bit too small, I thought. And then I went on a quest just sort of sourcing Ironclad
banners. To find as many Ironclad back banners as possible.
I think I love about 18 still in the box.
Amazing.
Yeah, well, nobody put them on the Dreadnoughts, did they? About a million in big boxes, I think, around. Yeah, so I've got loads of them. And then it's sort of just, people just, I think, it was, again, it's back to the nostalgia. People just like really liked them for the sort of nostalgic reasons.
So you put the Primaris because you were into Space Marines as a kid and the box set came out. But was there anything that made you think maybe you might want to try other old school models? Like, you know, I mentioned Praetorian Guard, for example, or?
Yeah, well, I'm a big fan of like old Warhammer, like the Guard, like Mordian are probably my favourite regiment. But it was more like,
good choice.
Yeah, Mordian are definitely my favourite. But it's more, I'm a big fan of Space Marines, you know, they're the poster boys. And I just love painting the Space Marines, you know what you get, you know, it's all armour, you know, you've got sharp angles. And the Primaris Marines, I loved the scale, I just loved how refined they were. And that was my main sort of focus. I just sort of then started plinking away at the Imperium box and the odd unit here and there. And before I knew it, I had an army's worth, you know. Awesome. It wasn't all in one sitting, it was done here and there with other things in between. But yeah, there's plenty of other sort of retro projects I'd like to get my sort of hobby brush onto
your
one
teeth
day.
Sunk into. Well, yeah. You've obviously started painting some Drakari, some Dark Elder from yesteryear. Is that something you're thinking of expanding into a full force, or?
That one, it was just an odd one that I had spare. And it was, at the moment, it's not army paintings. I find really hard army painting. I work, I'm an adult. You know, I've got two young kids, so actual hobby time is, I get enough, but not loads. So, and similar to yourself, I just can't stick to a project. I just sort of I do a little bit and then flip off. So I might expand into something next year, but I think I'm going to sort of focus more on kill teams of these sort of retro style stuff.
Yes. Yeah, I don't know whether you listened to our last episode, but Steve and I are into it like now, like chatting to Gary. We're getting into kill team in quite a big way, and it just ticks so many of those boxes of like something small, something manageable, and something you can be a bit creative with.
Yeah, and I think this is what Gary was saying. He's in a similar position, doesn't have a lot of time, you know. And I think it's that sort of, it's that perfect game, isn't it? You know, because I don't play too much 40K, mainly because of the game at the moment. I don't particularly enjoy all the rules and strats and everything. But Kill Team, I just think it sort of reminds me of that sort of old Necromunda, sort of all the terrain sort of condensed, sort of more cinematic stuff. You can imagine like people jumping around corners or stuff like that. It seems like more sort of an action game than it is like a war game. And for me, it's just the skirmish scale that really appeals.
Yeah, it's in the same way that we said to Gary in the previous episode, it gives you so much scope to, you know, if you wanted to try your own little kind of a retro project, for example, you know, you don't have to buy a whole army worth of Praetorian Guard, for example. You can just buy a handful of models and use them as Veteran Guard or Karsakin or whatever it is, you know. And you don't have to break the bank on that, getting that kind of little cool old school model project thing that you've got going on. But at the same time, it's achievable.
Yeah, and it sort of scratches that itch, doesn't it? Like I really wanted to, I thought I was going to get to Heresy this year because it was all the big thing. And I went down to my local Warhammer store, picked up the free model, painted it, and I was like, do I want to do another 39 of these? No, yeah, but I really enjoyed just painting one or two of them. And I was like, yeah, do I, you know? And I think realistically with sort of my hobby time, like, I think Kill Team would be a perfect way. I can focus my efforts onto painting, you know, 5 to 10 models to a higher standard, but convert them and have a bit more backstory to them, whatever. And I think there's, and quite a few people at my local club, one of my local stores is quite into Kill Team. I've sort of joined the Discord, I've had a sort of game night down. I played to 40K down there, and now they're all talking about Kill Team. I'm like, wow, I can see myself getting into this now. I've got some people to play with, and I think I'm just going to give it a go. I'm going to get a ticket for Fest, hopefully. Go
good
down
man,
to Fest,
good man.
And
yeah,
play in the tournament. So I'm going to have to learn the game at some point.
Well, it's fairly straightforward once you read the rules a couple of times, I think.
Once you get past I think it's the measurement system. I think that's what put me off initially. I was like,
once you get past there's a couple of things that are just a little bit like, they take a little bit of a while to kind of wrap your head around. Approach it like it's not a Games Workshop game. Approach it like it's a brand new system, but a different company. Don't try and bring like existing Warhammer knowledge into the game, and just approach it with a fresh, like blank slate, fresh your mind, and then go for
I'm excited for it. Like I said, I'll talk later about what I'm currently painting at the moment, but yeah, I've got my terrain for my 40K tables. I think I'll probably do about 3 different kill team boards. So, and I played the old one a little bit, and I really enjoyed that, but that was just mini 40K, really.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So, yeah, go on then. What are you painting at the moment? What's on your hobby table?
Well, actually, on my hobby, I recently managed to get a copy of Shadow Bolts after it sold out. I managed to source it from an online group for costs. So I built the terrain. It's going to be sort of my December Christmas project. It's just get the terrain up to standard.
Nice. That terrain is very cool. One of my sort of frustrations perhaps, is that it's so different to the Necromunda stuff. And I've got a whole, you know, I love the idea of building this kind of like dedicated Zone Mortalis kind of Necromunda board, you know, really kind of close confines fighting. And I've got a whole bunch of terrain for that. And they bring out this version of Kill Team, which has got a very similar vibe, but a completely different set of terrain. And I'm obviously not lamenting the fact that we've got this amazing terrain because it's really cool, but I don't own it. I have loads of the Necromunda stuff and the rules aren't designed for that stuff. So it's just,
I don't understand why they've done it really. Cause like the Necromunda stuff would be probably just as good. You know, it's a bit more bulky. I used to have it and I just could have tried to get to Necromunda, but didn't really take off at my club, and then COVID happened and then I was like, I don't need it. And then this stuff's, I don't know whether they're going to get rid of the sort of the Zone Mortalis stuff and this is going to replace it, because they've got their Arcs of Omens coming up, and that's partly why I want to get this stuff painted up as well. So I'm like 50% the way there for the Arcs of Omen, because the idea of playing like a smaller game using less models and all more restrictions is, I think it's quite exciting.
Like small scale 40k is where it's at, and especially if you're trying to get, like, I've got a couple of friends that I'm trying to get back into 40k, and they've stopped playing it since, you know, 7th edition. And they're just like, well, it's the cost of getting into it is too high. It's like, I can't be bothered to paint a 2,000 point army for a game system that I'm not really sure I'm definitely into. And whether it's them painting it themselves or maybe you painting up an army for them to try, 500 points or whatever is so much more achievable, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think, I don't know, like I say myself, it's, you know, I've painted 2,000 point armies this year, you know, two different ones. They're both marine armies of like different flavors, but it seems like more manageable. And I played the first game I had since like the summer. I had someone round last week. We had a 1,000 point throwdown. We got out the two sections of the board. I was like, this is quite small. He was playing guard, I was playing knights. We're just doing a 1,000 points. And I was like, so we expanded the table to the current full size table. We had a right blast, but we didn't play match play. We just did the open war, and it was just fun. It was just silly Warhammer, rolling dice, having a laugh. Nothing more complicated.
The dream, the absolute dream. Is there something that you're thinking that you might go back to on the retro painting scheme?
I want to explore. I've made a list of sort of retro schemes that I'd love to try out, you know, of just things that I think would be great as a kill team, you know, and then you've always got the option to then, you know, they've got you hooked onto the Arcs of Omen. Then it's 1,000 points, you know, the slippery slope as it is. But
it is indeed.
Yeah, so I think a fun one would be orcs.
Yes. Now we're talking.
Like, yeah, I think if you look at like peak second edition, you just see like a riot of colors from like orcs. Like their armies were just like all different clans, because the studio never had like a set army. That's something that came at the end of second edition. Going to third edition, they painted like a Bealtown Elder army going into third edition, and that was like when the 40k shifted from the fun back banners and bright colors into the sort of more serious grim dark stuff. It was sort of turning, and I just think a load of orcs with like goths with just real bright red and like loads of checks, back banners,
Checks, like red horns and everything.
Yes,
like highlighted all the way up to orange.
Oh yeah, 100%. Yeah, and it's
snake bite boar boys on actual boars.
Yeah, that's another one on my list, because I was looking when the beast snaggers came out. I was like, this is like the snake bites, and then I started looking online at bits. I was like, the Lizardmen sort of, or Seraphon is what they're known now. I was like, all their totems are like the sort of like the snake banners.
Yeah.
And I was like, they would look great on some beast snaggers, like, and then again, paint them all up, because like everything just seemed to have back banners. I think that's the formula, you know, bright colors and back banners.
That's the dream. So is that the advice you'd give to people if they wanted to kind of do their own retro project, bright colors and back banners?
But then it doesn't have to be back. I think it's just using sort of reference from just like old white dwarves. So I've got orcs as one of them. I've tyranids, like multicolored tyranids, like the tyranids just seem to be every single color. Like a Hormagant was purple and blue, a Termagant was red and sort of bone, and yeah, they're all sort of different colors. Or all three Eldar with yellow helmets and red guns, with all that sort of different stuff.
Yeah, I think that's what's the characteristics of these kind of schemes. And I think you've nailed it there with the Tyranids, is that everything was painted per unit rather than per army. So like it was okay that a Hormagant was purple and dark blue, and it was okay that, you know, like the Gene Stealers were that kind of, in fact, the Gene Stealers and the Hormigons were the only thing that really strikes me as similar. And in fact, no, now I'm thinking I'm gonna change my mind there, but the Gene Stealers and the Hormigons were kind of similar, and then the Termagants and the Warriors were kind of similar. They had that red color, didn't they?
Yeah.
But it was, you know, each model and each unit had its own flavor, and it didn't all have to be kind of like monochrome or sort of singular palette of colors.
Yeah, and a lot of it was, you know, it was different. They didn't have like a vision. It was just, back in the day, it was like, right, here's a new model, you paint it. Here's a new model, you paint it in the studio. And then they sort of threw it all together. And I think that's, you know, that was like the charm of it, or everything was sort of like just different colors, etc. And yeah, it was just nothing was sort of coherent.
Mm.
Apart from some of the marine armies, they sort of were a little bit, but then you'd have a battle report with Space Wolves in and an ultramarine land raider in the background.
It was a real riot of colours, wasn't it? And I think orcs especially, because of the different clans, they do that so well. But yet it still looked cohesive as an army.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. It was just, I don't know, you never really thought about it, because that's how it was back in the day. It was just, it's a mess. It was brilliant. You know, everything was so bright. You just didn't care. You were like, I just want to be able to do all this.
Right, so we took a little bit of brief break there for David to swap his headphones out, so he might sound slightly different. Better bass range now, I feel like, on these headphones. What do you reckon, David?
No, yeah, well, I've got a bassy voice, so hopefully I'll pick it up.
There we go. Right, so we were talking about retro paint schemes and, you know, orcs, Tyrians and stuff. So do you think there's something to be said about like going back to the original models, or do you think the new models that are out these days, the modern models, kind of carry a paint scheme regardless of era better?
Well, I've got sort of a funny answer, because I think it works either way myself. For example, like on a modern mini, like when I paint the Tyranids, I paint them in the High Fleet Hydra colours, because that reminds me of the old Gene Stealer colours, the blue.
Yeah, the purple. Blues and purples. Yeah, that's really cool.
And I love it. And I think if I paint any Tyranids, they're just that colour now. Like whether it's an old mini or a new mini, they're always, because that just takes me back to that time. So with regards to old miniatures, yeah, they're great. Yeah, but it's sourcing them. Obviously, they're old. You know, and old hammers become quite an expensive hobby these days. The last few years, it's gone through the roof, the prices. Like you're seeing stuff that's unused, like it's going for hundreds of pounds for like Space Marine stuff, like a tactical squad that's unused in a box. And I think it just sort of becomes a bit sort of prohibitive cost wise. You know, it's an expensive hobby anyway, let alone chasing 30-year-old ear models for five times the price of what you could buy now.
Yeah, so there's a practical aspect to be considered.
Yeah, oh yeah, definitely. But I've got old models and I've got new models. But the new models, like the old models, got a charm. But the new models is just so much better, like quality wise. And the paint schemes are transferable. Like you could take an old mini, like an old Tyranid, like I've done before, give it a modern paint scheme, and it makes it look a million times better. Not there's no disrespect to the sort of designers and sculptors and artists back in the day. It's just techniques have moved on, and it's the same with new models. You can paint them with new techniques and new modern schemes, or you can do what I do and just paint sort of an old scheme using modern paints and techniques. And I think it works either way.
Yeah, that makes sense. And the proof's in the pudding, really, you know, how good your ultramarines look, and the fact clearly they were chosen to be part of a Warhammer community article. That must have been a pretty cool moment for you.
Oh, it blew my mind when the Warcom team contacted me on Twitter, like, oh yeah, we've seen your ultramarines and we think that we'd like to feature them for the 35th anniversary of Warhammer 40k. And it's sort of like, it's the equivalent of like the boy me having my models featured in White Dwarf. It's like the 21st century version of getting your models in White Dwarf, isn't it? Having a whole Warcom article dedicated to just your models.
I think that's really quite special, you know, and not just an article of like, hey, these were cool that we saw online. You know, it's like, this was for, what was it, the 35th anniversary of 40k.
Yeah, and I think obviously it was shared on social media, and I had friends from school that used to do Warhammer, were sharing the article between themselves, like, no, look, Dave's got his models on like Warhammer community. And then I think I spoke to my dad one day, he was like, oh, yeah, I saw your models were featured. He goes, oh, it's a really good achievement. And my dad doesn't pay me any sort of compliments.
I love it. Love it. And the Goblin Green basing is just, it's next level.
Yeah, but, you know, in for a penny, in for a pound, isn't it? That's what I thought. You know, putting bat banners on them. And some people just think, you know, that was a step too far. But I was like, it's my hobby. Some people loved it. Some people just loved the base. I think even just did a tutorial on Instagram or Twitter of it. Just, this is how you do it. But some people love them. Some people think, well, it'd be so much better if they were just on a modern base.
So how did you do the basing? Because that Goblin Green looks almost spot on.
I don't have access to old paint, so it's just I've got an old Citadel paint guides from back in the 90s, and I was like, all it was sand, PVA sand, and it was Goblin Green all over. And then they dry brushed it. I think back in the day it was Sunburst Yellow. So I just do it now with Warboss Green. Is it Warboss Green? I think it's like the sort of layer paint.
Mm.
Warboss Green, and then it's a dry brush of Uriel Yellow on top, and that's literally it.
Easy. No fancy cracking paint here or anything like that. You've just got dry brush yellow green bases.
it was more like, you know what, I'm going all in.
I think my favorite type of it is the yellow barrel of the flamer on your Invicta warsuit.
I really enjoyed painting that. I was like, right, I'm putting hazard stripes on it. And it's funny because I've sort of added models over the years, and my painting's got better. You know, I started doing some aggressors years ago. I was like, they're definitely having hazard stripes on the fist, but I was like, I really struggled doing it, and I ended up giving up on it in the end. And the same, I'd like to do some eradicators with like the bright yellow melter rifle barrels.
Oh, yeah, that would look pretty cool.
But it's just, I don't know. It's one of those projects that I've, you know, I think I'll add a unit here and there when I feel like it, but I feel like it's had its day. I know it sounds terrible, but...
No, you've had your fun, you know, and you've got... There's plenty of other cool things on the horizon to build.
Oh, yeah, definitely, yeah.
Your Lumineth is looking pretty good as well.
Yeah, that's another... Yeah, it was another store anniversary. Well, not store anniversary, but, you know, like the mini of the month.
Oh, yeah.
And I went down there with my son's only four, but he sort of wants to paint daddy's models with him. So we went down to Games Workshop or the Warhammer shop in my local town, did a couple. The judging was yesterday for him. It was his one in the cabinet as well, bless him.
Amazing.
Judged. Yeah, so, but if mine places, I'm just going to get the manager to write his name on the certificate instead. He doesn't know.
Brilliant. What about a whole Mordian army force, you know, to channel that with that kind of sky blue and dark blue tank with the kind of red and yellow front kind of... hazard stripey things.
I painted up this year. I did an old hellhound, and I did do a Mordian as well. I've got a box of them, but again, it's just maybe with the plastics, you know, you could do a sort of similar size style skin, but I would sort of want the epaulets with the tassels on them and the peaked caps, and you know, I could do like a sort of almost like an Ultramar defense force in that sort of blue color on the new Cadians, but
yeah,
you know, oh god, don't know. I'd be bankrupt if they release plastic Mordians, I think.
Well, I'm not sure they're going to with the recent stuff seems all very Cadian focused.
Yeah, and it's very generic, isn't it? I thought, well, is there going to be an upgrade pack? You know, that would have been, I'd probably a lot to design, sort of like the basic, and then just have like a Forge World upgrade pack that can sort of turn them into Talarn or Mordians. Oh,
yeah.
The thing is, they've got so much stuff they've got to be making. It's just... I'm hoping they'd do a made to order again for some of the metal stuff. But they've got to sell the new stuff first, haven't they? So
absolutely. And so for me, that's I think what I'm kind of toying with / struggling with is a scheme for the Cadians, is because I'm quite tempted to do, I don't want to say full retro, like Goblin Green bases style, but I kind of want to do like retro inspired. So rather than having like bright red lasguns, do like kind of mute a slightly more muted red. What do you think?
I think you're being a coward. I was tempted by the Cadia Stands box set, and I was like, and the first thing that came to my head was, you know, I want them to be green with the little black spots and the little yellow dots, red gun faces. But no, I think you could get away with like halfway house it, because some people just think, no, that's it, breaks the immersion of my grim dark fantasy, my sci-fi setting, that these men are running around with bright red gun casings in like a battlefield where they're probably going to die in like an hour. But
an hour? That's optimistic.
Yeah, it is.
Good odds in the Astra Militarum.
Yeah, but you could go either way, really. It's like some people just, I think,
the green base is too jarring, the red gun cases are too jarring, and it's at the end of the day, it's your hobby. It's something you know. I think it's similar. I posted one of the new Mark VI Marines in my Ultramarine scheme with a bright blue armor, red gun case, and people were sort of hit and miss about that. Oh, this is not historical sci-fi. You know, that's not historically accurate. I was like, so it's my hobby.
Yeah,
they're just fighting on the bright green fields of Ultramar, aren't they? That's what they're doing all the time, defending the realm.
Heresy. The heresy sort of vibe is tends to be a little bit more kind of historically focused, doesn't it? Like accuracy focused.
Yeah, but I'm the same when I'm doing my space remarkers, they have to be in the right place, everything. But and I think that you could approach any sort of army. You could take sort of a retro paint scheme. You just pull the bits you like from it. I think you just, you know, whether you like the wings were painted on the Cadians. And I think I shared with you that image from the old second edition Guard Codex, and there was all those schemes of that they did.
Oh yeah.
They've never seen the light of day.
A whole host of different variants of Cadians.
And I think that's what, you know, like I say, you could pick, right, just do the fatigues, but then paint the gun case in black and do the bases in all sort of modern colour.
I think you're right. I think it's got to be red casing.
I've called you out, haven't I?
You have, absolutely. Red casing and red casing and the ends of the flame is yellow. Like that is just, oh, that's like, you can't see it right now, but I'm chef's kissing.
Yeah, but you could just, like I say, just do a kill team, couldn't you? You could just have a go. Like, there's plenty of, like, I'd like to do some like modern, like sort of all three Eldar with the yellow helmets and red gun casings. I'd do modern baiting, but I painted up one of the Votans like as the old Space Wolves come with sort of like the yellow armor and yellow and red armor and the green fatigues. You sort of just pick. I think just pick what you want, and then just go from there.
As you say, you know, it's your hobby, right? You know, loads of people arguing about head swaps on space marines and, you know, all sorts of different things. It's like, at the end of the day, just do what you want to do. You know, it's Warhammer at the day, it's toy soldiers, it's a fun hobby thing. And if you want to paint it in retro schemes, then go for it. If you want to, you know, make up your own lore, then go for it. You know, and equally, you know, people don't have to like it. You know, people, like you say, people didn't like your goblin-gree bases. Like, that's okay. You weren't making it for you. You weren't making it for them. You were making it for you.
Yeah, at the end of the day, that's it, isn't it? And Dave, you know, I could take criticism, but if someone doesn't like something that I painted a plastic space on me with a green base, if that's going to upset them, then it'll upset them. I've got better things to talk about at the end of the day than...
Go out and touch grass, preferably goblin green grass.
Yes. It's meant to be fun, so make it fun. You know, I think there's far too much sort of not negative, but I think social media helps people sort of breathe the negativity. But you know, it's meant to be a bit of fun. It's what you do in your own time. We spend hours painting models, so let it be fun.
Yeah, absolutely, completely agree. Right, so thank you very much for joining me, David, today to chat all about your retro paint scheme and your Ultramarines. What one release that you've seen teased that hasn't arrived yet are you most looking forward to that you think would look best in a retro paint scheme?
That one, isn't it? I've seen teased that hasn't been released yet. 40K wise, we've got the World Eaters, haven't we, coming up? And you could, you know, they did a lot of like green and red back in the day, like the demons were all painted sort of with green swords.
Really like clashy Christmas green.
Yeah, yeah, it was like a festive colours, wasn't it? Like the membrane, the membranes on the back of the flesh hounds were green. And, and I think, yeah, you could put some world eaters like that. And I really like the nod they've done to the new sort of berserkers where they've got like their arms out, the armour. They're like the old, they used to be the old ones with the skull helmets. They used to even have like legs out and just bare feet. And I was like, yeah, imagine that, you know, you're that crazy that you're running across a battlefield with just your leg hanging out of your armor. But I don't know, really. It's just I'm looking forward to more what they do with the sort of kill team shadow bolts. I was like, they do some tyrannid wise, it's like the perfect setting.
Oh, isn't it just I'm really looking forward to seeing maybe like a gene stealer kill team.
Yeah, well, not because they can do with an update, couldn't they? They're quite old kits now, and I think with like sort of kill team on the horizon with Warhammer Fest, I want to do the best I can ability sort of kill team ready for the event. And I think Tyranids or sort of Primaris Tyrannic war vets would be right up my street, I think.
Oh yeah, that's cool. That is cool. Like heavily converted Primaris team, only six of them. Make like the five of the Tyrannic war vets that used to be able to get in that box set.
Yeah, and I've already sort of looked
or at four of them that you said, I think, yeah, four, whatever.
I can't remember what it was, but yeah, I was looking at getting like bionic like arms using I've seen like a conversion with using a Titanicus night leg.
Nice, like, nice. Yeah, that would be cool.
On a Primaris, and it was like the perfect leg. But I just think I've got a few of like the limited models, like the Jovan, is it Castus, the limited veteran sergeants or lieutenants.
Oh yeah, that would look really cool.
I just think of just converting them up to be like a bunch of sort of maybe not as retro because of a sort of more serious style, but yeah, as like a Primaris Tyrannic war team. I think that's what's tickling my fancy after the terrain.
Yes, do it. Can't wait to see those.
So yeah, I've committed now, haven't I?
You've done it. You've said it on air.
On radio, yeah.
Absolutely. Right, David, if people want to find your awesome Ultramarines and various hobby projects, where can they get hold of you?
I'm out on Twitter, Instagram at Spaced Crusader, or one word. I'm on Twitter. I try to interact. Obviously, social media takes a lot of time, but yeah, mainly on Instagram, but I do go on Twitter to have conversations. You'll find me lurking on the second edition Facebook group as well. I like to sort of post in there and talk in there. But yeah, that's where you can find me if you want to sort of come and look at myself, have a chat, ask questions. I'm more than happy to sort of chat hobby or give advice or just help other people just do more awesome hobby.
Awesome. Well, David, thank you very much for joining me today, and I look forward to sharing pictures of my Retrocadians with you soon.
Oh, yeah. I need to see those soon, yeah, because I'm hoping that Warhammer actually do like a miniature of the month as Acadian, so I can sort of scratch the itch without buying a box of them.
Well, I better get mine painted up before you do, just so I can be first.
Oh, yeah, hurry up.
Cheers, mate. Take care.
All right, cheers. Thank you very much.